Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're always delighted to have you on board with us as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues today, we're going to be talking about a subject, signs of the future. Signs of the future. We get a little distressed when we see things taking place as we are now with the pandemic and the shelter in place, whatever they're calling it from the governmental standpoint, taking away our liberties and freedoms. And we get a little concerned about seeing the Second Amendment right being infringed upon and a number of other things. And yet we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, what we're watching are literally the signs of things to come, the signs of future events based on the Word of God. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is not incumbent upon me, and it should not be upon any other Christian leader, to try to use their ideological bent and or philosophical belief based on denominational dogma as to what's happening. The first, foremost, and final authority ought to be the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Jesus spoke of that so often in the Scripture. In fact, when he spoke to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then he spoke about what is truth. Jesus said, John 14, 6 says, "I am truth." And then in John 17, 17, Jesus gives a good illustration, indication, declaratory statement as to what is truth. Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know the truth about an issue, turn to the Word of God. Truth is what we ought to seek and ought to focus on, and not ideological bent and dogma that's out in society today. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said the further in society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We see that today in Washington, if no other place. But it permeates society today as nothing else could, is the twisting and the bending of truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And may that be our mantra as Christians, that we're willing as faithful Christians to seek the truth and listen to the truth and learn the truth and love the truth, tell the truth, learn the truth, defend the truth even to death. That is the focus that I want us to have each and every day on this broadcast as we look at the different issues that face us in society. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for homeowners like brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of the professional landscape equipment, power equipment for homeowners, as well as the professional. They also carry a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff to explain how to use them and answer all your questions about the power equipment they sell. Telephone time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road, 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. It's right at the base of the gigantic flagpole with the American flag flying 24/7. Find that wonderful, beautiful flag flowing. The base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, let me remind you that you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions or comments. You can join in the dialogue and discussion. I've had those say, well, I just want to put in my 2 cents worth. Well, today's your opportunity. You can dial 831-0917 and get you right through to the microphone so that we can discuss these things or answer your questions on this broadcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I'll be focusing on after a elongated monologue to get into the discussion, I'll be focusing on the coming Antichrist. Because what we're seeing today, and I'll explain it further in the broadcast, what we're seeing today is simply a foreshadowing of that coming one that will step on the scene, some charismatic political leader that will step on the scene, a political leader that will rule the whole world. He will not come in by war. He will come in peace. He will come in to make peace. He will come in with the idea of being able to develop peace, and he will be able to do so with the nation of Israel all to the Middle East. And halfway through that peace treaty, he will break the covenant, Daniel 9, 24 through 27 says, and he will make war. And during the course of the 7 years called the tribulation period of time, the Antichrist will be a dogmatic, dictatorial, demanding, devastating, destructive leader on a global level. So you say, well, how does that fit in with what's happening today with the coronavirus pandemic and the panic, the chaos, the confusion that's being set forth in society today? We're seeing taking place today, that which is taking place today. We're watching the foreshadowing of what shall come in full form after the rapture of the church. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you this book, I have a book in my hand. It's called The Coming Antichrist. It's not about 144 pages. It's just 7 chapters short, and it gives the full information about the Antichrist from the rapture of the church and the Antichrist stepping on the scene. It gives all this, every scripture in relationship to that, describing his character, his characteristics, his modus operandi, how he comes on the scene. It is a very powerful book. I had the privilege of researching and writing this book and publishing it a few years back, and it is my desire to see it in your hands today. Subtitled this book is A Comprehensive Biblical Look at the Antichrist. It is a fascinating study, and it is something that I believe every Christian ought to read. You say, well, it's a horrible subject. Yes, it is. We won't be here. We'll be raptured out. But you need to know what is going to take place after the rapture of the church. You need to know how to warn your fellow Christians, your other believers. You need to know how to warn those that are not believers. You need to know how to communicate with the lost world. You need to know how to answer questions in relationship to what is going to take place in the future tense. And be prepared. The key to it is being prepared. And this book is one that I want to put in your hands today. It retails for $16.99. And for those that call in today and leave your information with the call screener, you will be able to leave your name and telephone number and address so that we can get this sent to you. But everyone that calls in with a question or comment, joining in the dialogue and discussion today, if you do not already have one of these books, we're going to make that available for you free and, as I used to say, on old broadcast postage paid. So let me hear from you today. We're talking about signs of the future. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that we're all paying attention to what's happening these days in the crisis and the hysteria and the panic, the confusion that we're all witnessing. And that's exactly what it is. It's panic, hysteria, and chaos that's taking place on a global basis. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give a long litany of the things that's happening, especially as we see it from the American perspective. Some of the things that's taking place in America today. And then we're going to make a transition into the mirroring of those same things Yes, the mirroring of those same things taking place during the days of the tribulation at the hand of the Antichrist. No, I'm not intimating that we have the Antichrist on the scene today. No, I'm not intimating that what we have from the governmental level is the Antichrist, not at all. But I'm talking about the glimpse. God's given us a bird's eye view, a glimpse, a little idea of what is going to take place. It's like the pulling the curtain slightly back so we can peek in and see what God is doing for the future and setting the stage for that. Signs for the future. What we see taking place today, ladies and gentlemen, our civil rights are being taken away. Civil rights are being taken away. Our civil liberties, our Bill of Rights are being trampled underfoot, ladies and gentlemen. As I speak to you today under the premise and based on the fact that we have, I believe the total number was like 803 that have died in America as a result of the pandemic, the coronavirus. Now, I'm not trying to limit the value of any life. That's not the point of this broadcast. But I am saying that 803 was the 6:30 a.m. news report on Fox News today. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, that number will die every day, two or three times that number every day in America by way of abortion. I listened to Governor Cuomo on a news briefing when he was talking about the sadness of so many lives being lost, and it was sad to see any life lost. Yes, that's the same governor that just 1 month ago signed a bill into law in the state of New York that allows a baby to be murdered even as it is being birthed. And that same governor now whining and crying about the number of deaths that we could see in America, and he's concerned about it supposedly. We're talking about our civil liberties being taken away. Here's an article that says New Jersey suspends the Second Amendment rights. New Jersey officials have been sued for the action that essentially suspends the Second Amendment for the American citizens in their state. And it goes on to talk about that. And it says in this article, yet under this emergency order, that's exactly what they're doing. The Constitution, the federal law, doesn't allow that. New Jersey may have been the first state to ratify the Bill of Rights, but they're the last state to recognize it, according to the particular writer that wrote the article. Headline, New Jersey suspends Second Amendment rights. And that's what we find taking place, ladies and gentlemen, across America today, state after state and city after city. We're finding mayors today, two of them, one in particular in New Orleans and the other in Champaign, Illinois, that have literally passed a restrictive executive order that restricts the right to buy, sell any guns or weapons of any type, any ammunition of any type. They canceled everything in their cities and states in relationship to that. In fact, in New Orleans and in Champaign, Illinois, they have made it a law, a regulation, that you can't even transport, you cannot even transport any firearms or ammunition in their cities, in their municipalities. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what is taking place today in America as a result of the pandemic. And as a result of the pandemic, the fright, the chaos, the confusion, the catastrophe, and the calamity that it's causing the citizens of the United States of America as a result of that. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today signs of the future. Signs of the future. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to our studios and our microphone. Want to hear from you. What are you seeing? What are the results as you see them? We're seeing today, ladies and gentlemen, orders without constitutional authority. Listen, orders without constitutional authority to shutter in home, to literally shelter in place, as they're calling it. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, they're saying that you can't go to work. They have forbidden anyone from going to work unless it is an absolute must in their job classification. Here's an article that makes it a little more, how would you say, pristine clear, brings the focus into point. Title of the article, residents threatened with jail simply for leaving their home during the pandemic. The governor of New Jersey warned that folks need to be jolted. So his attorney general is threatening jail for people who leave their homes in violation of the government's governor's orders as of Monday. The state's attorney general said those who violate the stay-at-home order could be jailed or fined up to $1,000. Democratic Governor Phil Murphy signed the executive orders that banned unapproved social gatherings. Now, unapproved. Who's going to approve the social gatherings? Unapproved. Any unapproved social gatherings. The government has to approve your social gatherings in this order, ladies and gentlemen. And any close, all non-essential businesses, all retail, storefront, and brick-and-mortar premises are shuttered. All recreational and entertainment business must close to the public. People are allowed to leave home only to seek medical care or to get food or gasoline. They were warned that the police will monitor for people who have events in their homes and who invite too many people to come into their homes. Law enforcement officers will have to break the parties up, and there will be criminal consequences, the governor said. The time for the warning is over, and the time to ensure compliance by using all the tools available to the government. Offenders could face a number of charges, including disorderly conduct. A disorderly conduct offense is punishable by a prison term of up to 6 months, a fine up to $1,000, or both, according to the governor's office in New Jersey. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's just stop and pause for a moment. I've got a list of about 16 things I want to touch on by way of an elongated monologue today to get to the point that we're seeing today. Listen as I speak. We're seeing today the foreshadowing of things to come, signs of the future events on a global basis. Would you have ever thought that there will be a restriction placed on you for leaving your home? And if you leave your home, you could be fined $1,000. If you have too many people in your home, you could go to jail or be fined. Would you have ever thought we'd be in a position in America where a police officer would be standing at your driveway, at the end of your driveway, to make sure that you stay at home? That's taking place, ladies and gentlemen, especially in New Jersey. That's taking place on a limited basis and a lesser scale in cities across America today, on the premise that somehow, some way, we're going to force people. By the way, martial law has not been declared. If martial law were declared, then under the provision that allows martial law in times of major, major, major catastrophe on a global level, martial law could be imposed and therefore enforced. They've not declared martial law. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the contravening of our constitutional liberties being enforced upon us on the premise that it's going to protect you, it'll protect me from the coronavirus. Ladies and gentlemen, these restrictions, I believe, what we're seeing happening to our society and to business as in general, are more harmful and more devastating and more damaging, more destructive than I believe the virus could ever possibly be on the face of the earth today. But we're watching it take place. We're seeing it state by state, city by city, as mayors and governors try to play what I call one-upmanship to make sure that they are doing better than the neighboring governor, the neighboring state. Let me reiterate, ladies and gentlemen, lest you've not been listening day by day. We've had over 31,000 deaths this year by way of the common flu. Last year, was one article I read said 41,000, another one said 47,000, another one said 50,000. So somewhere between 40 and 50,000 people died in 2019 with the common flu. And we've had 803 as of this morning at 6:30 to die as a result of the coronavirus. And yet America is shut down. Literally closed up. Businesses and business owners are panic stricken. They're going to have to file bankruptcy. Multitudes, thousands of them will never be able to reopen. Millions upon millions of people losing their jobs. There is a remedy for the panic. There's a remedy for the pandemic. There's a remedy for the virus that's taking place that is more harmful and devastating than the virus itself. It's like saying the cure can be more damaging than the disease. And that's what we're seeing today, ladies and gentlemen, on a national level in America. We're watching it take place before our eyes. I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the signs of the future, signs of things to come. We're watching our civil liberties being taken away. We're watching the right to buy and sell or to transport guns and ammo, the Second Amendment right, being canceled. We're watching orders without constitutional authority. I'm telling people you can't go to work, you can't leave your home. We're watching churches ordered to close. And ladies and gentlemen, the sad thing is churches are obeying the orders. If you had asked me 6 months ago, would it be possible for the government to give an order that churches closed and the churches would obey, I would have said never in America would it be possible. Yet that is taking place today, ladies and gentlemen, in America. And if a pastor were to be brazen enough, if a pastor were to be faithful enough to take a stand and say, I'm not closing, as a result of that, there would be a major mega outcry from those around. And I'm thinking about the pastor in, I believe it was Louisiana. He had the privilege of preaching. And as a result of that, they threatened him with the National Guard. The National Guard would come and circle his premises and would prevent him from having services again. As a result of that, and it going on national media, as a result of the national media getting their hands on the fact that he had preached. In fact, one article says Louisiana pastor defies the coronavirus order, holds church services for 1,800 people. And then as a result of the hate coming in, by way of Facebook and other social media, one person said that that pastor needs to die and go to hell. As a result of just preaching the gospel, as a result of standing by faith. I watched the video, ladies and gentlemen, of the preacher. Now, with some of the things he stands for theologically, doctrinally, and biblically, he and I are 1,000 miles apart on theology and doctrine. But I will commend to him and give to him his right under the Constitution of the United States of America to have services in his church without fear of intimidation or intervention or any threat of the National Guard circling his premises. But as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, he has then ultimately apologized for what had taken place. And as a result of that apology, he even gets more hate mail, more haters, because he said, we certainly want to be a blessing to our community. And certainly we've tried in the years gone by to be that. He says, my heart was so heavy with the experience, the amount of hateful comments we receive. But I guess I have to understand those comments. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what is taking place in America today. We're talking about the coronavirus being weaponized to undermine, tear down, and destroy our Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and we're silent. As Christians, we've been silent. As Christians, we have been told to shut up, get in the closet, and be silent, and that's exactly what I see taking place, ladies and gentlemen, today. And now listen. Many of these pastors would stand and preach in the pulpit, but what has taken place, because of the panic and the hysteria, because the people running around screaming with their hair on fire, and I'm not trying to minimize whatsoever, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that we are faced with a virus that is deadly, no question about that. And I think we still need to follow the typical hygiene methods, personal hygiene, to prevent the spread. But what I am fearful of, we're watching the evaporation of our constitutional liberties and our freedoms found in our Bill of Rights. We're watching those simply evaporate, being eviscerated simply because of a sheer panic that's being set forth. And that panic is being brought about primarily by our politicians and our news media. And the media is weaponizing the coronavirus today to make it look as though somehow, some way, if you disallow, or disobey any governmental order, that you're the bad guy and not the government for doing so. Yes, churches are being ordered to close, and churches are obeying on a national basis. Now, why is this so important? Because, ladies and gentlemen, when we get to the point of talking about the Antichrist will blaspheme God. He'll blaspheme the house of God, the person of God, the place of God, the people of God, none other than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 13, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8 validates what I've just said. And that's what will happen when the Antichrist steps on the scene. We're seeing a foreshadowing. We're seeing a glimpse of the future. We're looking at through a glass darkly today where the world is headed after the rapture of the church takes place. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking about today, signs of the future, looking into things to come. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. The telephone call gets you through to our microphone so that we can have dialogue and discussion. Love to hear from you. Are you concerned about this as a Christian? Do you believe that this is the authority the government has? I don't. If you understand, I don't want you to be wondering, what does that person think? What do I think? I do not believe the federal government has authority to do what it's doing today based on our Constitution and our liberties unless they declare martial law, and it's not been declared. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe you call me a stickler for our issues and a stickler for our Constitution. I'm a passionate constitutionalist and a biblicist. I'm a central biblicist first and a constitutionalist second. I believe we need to stand by what we find in our Constitution and the Bill of Rights and understand our rights and authorities therein. We're watching today, ladies and gentlemen, pastors being threatened for having worship services without governmental authority. We're watching today Christians that are silent, sitting in the closet because they've been told to be good people and to do so. We're watching neighbors telling on others that they feel are not in compliance with the undeclared martial law. Ladies and gentlemen, for 72 years in the old Russia, before Russia was broken up, the old Russia for 72 years, they had telephone numbers that a person could call. We call them 800 numbers in America, perhaps other designations in Russia. And they had those numbers, and if they would see the neighbor doing something or saying something that was not what they thought should be done or said, they'd pick up the phone and call, and they would get their 2 cents worth in, and they would get their little points, if you please, of appeasement because they've told on a neighbor. That's exactly what you see, ladies and gentlemen. I've got probably 8 or 10, 12 pages of responses because that pastor had services in Louisiana, and he was told not to, and he was threatened with the threat by the mayor and the governor that the National Guard would have to come out and enforce their rule, and because he did not obey, did not bow, you had thousands of those condemning the preacher, condemning him to hell, wishing that he'd die and go to hell, and calling him a bad person, that he wasn't concerned about anybody, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, simply because he was exercising his constitutional, biblical, God-given rights to do so. Now, am I passionate about that? Absolutely, unequivocally. Do I believe that we need to do all that we can to prevent the further spread of this virus? Yes, I believe we should. But does that mean that we need to simply bow as Christians and bend and shelter in a closet and be silenced and have nothing to do and say from the standpoint of worship and the preaching and the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Store worker, ladies and gentlemen, here's one where a store worker literally was threatened and arrested as a result of going in public. Listen, New Jersey man who coughed on a Wegmans, that's W-G-M-A-N-S, worker, that's a grocery chain, faces charges of terrorist threats, governor says. New Jersey Governor Philip Murphy on Tuesday chided a man facing charges for allegedly coughing on a grocery store employee and then claiming he contracted the coronavirus. Murphy, a Democrat, said George Falcone, 50, was charged with terrorist threats, harassment, and obstruction, New Jersey, according to the New Jersey report. The alleged incident happened at the Wegmans grocery chain, located in some 50 miles from New York City. Here's the bottom line, three-page article. Bottom line, this shopper was in the stores. He was getting too close to the open display of food, and one of the workers in the store came up and confronted him that he ought not to be there because she had heard him cough, and because he then basically mocked her, made fun of her, and said, I have coronavirus. She then called the police officers. He was arrested and now stands to be fined or put in jail simply because he was out in the public and was told on, called on, and reported as being in the public, and he ought not to be. Ladies and gentlemen, that's horrific in my mind, where neighbors are reporting on neighbors, citizens reporting on other citizens simply for being in the public and thinking that somehow, some way, because you cough or sneeze, that you're a contamination to everybody else and you ought to be sequestered to put in jail. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to further this extended monologue today to get into our dialogue and discussion about the coming Antichrist. We're going to have about a one-minute top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.